Chapter 11.
They are breaking through, Your Highness.
The young dwarf standing before King Halvar was covered in the blood of his comrades. With his armour split and torn, there were several deep gashes on his arms and face. Halvar did not need to be told. He could see for himself that their lines were collapsing. The enemy was fearless and brutally efficient. Though they'd been able to push them back for a short time, it soon became clear that this was a false dawn. What appeared to be a slow and reluctant retreat from the fury of a combined dwarf, elf, and human assault had in reality been nothing more than a lure. The moment their left flank was exposed, the Imperials had redoubled their efforts, creating a gap and cutting off a third of their forces. The thump of an arrow landing just a few feet away caught Halvar's attention. Before he could so much as take a step back, his guards were moving in to surround him.
"See if the right flank can spare enough swords to reinforce the center," he ordered.
The young dwarf saluted and raced away. It was a useless command. In his heart, Halvar already knew this. Their right flank was on the brink of collapse. The clamor of steel was growing ever closer, bringing with it the familiar screams of the dying to tear at his ears.
"We should move away, Your Highness," suggested one of his guards.
He gave a cheerless laugh.
"And where should we go? There is naught but open ground at our backs. No, lad. Better to die here than run like cowards."
He absolutely refused to meet his end hiding among the wagons. Kira had already entered into the fray. So too had King Yularion, who could be seen near the left flank, directing the battle atop his steed. The dwarf king would have willingly joined them had his escort not prevented it. Even so, from the dire look of things, he would have his chance to fight soon enough, regardless. From his vantage point, Halvar could see that their own lines had been driven nearly halfway back up the rise. Just beyond them, what looked like a vast ocean of enemy soldiers pressed relentlessly in. By this stage, they were close enough for him to clearly make out the markings on their imperial banners. A bulge in the exact center caught his attention. It was there that his commanders had concentrated the stoutest of their dwarf axemen. But, fierce and formidable as these fighters undeniably were, they were now falling apart before his very eyes. It was as if the enemy swords had somehow cut through an invisible stitching holding them together. Halvar looked on in horror as this elite section of his kinsmen was hacked to bits. With the breach made, numerous enemy soldiers began pouring through, some pressing the gap wider, others moving straight through to attack the line from the rear. With a guard of only 10 dwarves for protection, Halvar was fully expecting them to send a squadron up to dispatch him. Surprisingly, though, they had so far ignored him completely, focusing their efforts instead entirely on decimating the front lines and splitting the allied army in two. Unslinging the axe from his back, he let out a roar of defiance.
"I guess this is it, lads,"
he told those around him.
"It's time for us to join the fray."
This time there was no argument or complaint from the guards about the king putting himself at risk. They simply formed a line on either side of him, axes in one hand and dwarf rods in the other.
"We're ready, Your Highness," said the guard to his left. "At your command."
Halvar raised his axe.
"Ely Foss!"
With no thought of survival, they surged forward, every dwarf determined to bring as much death to their enemy as possible before falling. Spinning and ducking with incredible speed, Kira thrust out hard with both blades, each one piercing the gullet of her foe just as he was raising his sword for a fatal strike. He died like all the previous silent ones she had slain, without a trace of expression. She found this strangely unsettling. While planting her boot in his chest and jerking her weapons free, she could see that the soldier's eyes betrayed nothing. No pain, no fear, nothing at all. From the right side, two more Imperials were already bearing down on her. "Damn," she muttered. They had to close the breach faster. More and more of the enemy was filtering through, wreaking havoc. As she turned to face this new threat, a flash of white light struck one of her attackers full in the face, sending him crumbling to the ground. Glancing to her left, Kira saw an older dwarf lying on the blood-soaked earth a few feet away. He was clutching a still-smoking rod, with his breastplate shattered and two arrows protruding from his legs. He met Kira's eyes for only a moment before going limp. Just the smallest hint of a smile lingered on his face. With no time for reflection, Kira turned her attention to the second foe, another silent one. They never ran, she noted. Yet their gait was as swift and relentless as the tide, and their movements always precise and calculated. She threw herself forward, the full force of her body weight colliding into the shoulder of the soldier's sword arm, just as the weapon was raised at its highest point before striking. Before he could counter, she twisted to his rear and slashed hard with both of her own blades, her steel cutting satisfyingly deep into his mostly unprotected back. But it was as expected. After having fought so many of these silent ones, she was now well aware of how hard they were to kill. Her foe's only reaction to these injuries was to turn and bring his own sword down in a tight arc. Sidestepping this deadly sweep, Kira let loose a flurry of strikes aimed at his neck and head. The tip of one of her blades pierced his right eye, while the other opened up several fresh wounds. None, though, were lethal. Despite the loss of an eye, the enemy soldier skillfully managed to maneuver himself into a position that gave him the advantage of slightly higher ground. Undeterred, Kira continued to strike furiously at him with both blades, shredding his armor and drenching his body in his own blood. But even this did nothing to slow him. He was by far the toughest silent one she had yet encountered. "I will not be laid low by this mindless beast," she told herself, her mind seeking a new tactic. One quickly formed. Her focus sharpened, and she crouched low, legs close together. Taking this as a sign of her fatigue, the Imperial reached for a dagger with his free hand and moved in for the kill. In response, Kira rolled forward in a somersault with all the speed she could muster. Pain shot through her back as enemy steel dug in. Ignoring this, she stabbed down hard with both of her long knives, their points penetrating through the soldier's booted feet and effectively pinning him into place. The pain in her back was intense, and already she could feel the blood flowing. But there was no time for hesitation. Somehow she managed to squeeze herself through her opponent's narrowly spread legs and scramble clear just as another blow descended that would have surely ended her life. The soldier jerked violently to free his immobilized feet. It was too late. Kira had already produced a small throwing knife. With a cry of triumph, she rose up on her toes to shove the blade firmly into the back of the silent one's neck, neatly severing his spinal cord. From the corner of her eye, she caught movement to her right. Shoving the paralyzed and dying man aside, she pulled her blades free and spun to face new enemies. However, to her relief, she saw six elves and two humans running full tilt to her aid. "The lines have reformed," a tall elf told her when drawing close. "But how long they will hold, I don't know." One of the humans immediately began examining her wounds. Kira instinctively pulled away, reluctant to allow a human to treat her. "He knows what he is doing," the elf assured her. "You should let him help you." Now feeling foolish for resisting, she allowed the man to strip away her armor and shirt. She couldn't help but notice that he did not display the embarrassed look she usually saw in humans when encountering an elf's lack of modesty. Rather, he simply removed a pouch from his belt and began expertly cleaning and dressing the deep gash on her back. From her limited vantage point, it did indeed appear that the lines had reformed. But with so many combatants over such a large area, it was impossible to gauge the entirety of the battle. "Is there any word from King Alvar?" she asked, wincing as the human applied a thick salve. "I'm afraid not," he replied. "But I doubt they are faring any better than we. This enemy is like nothing I've ever heard of. What manner of people are they?" "They serve Shinzan," she told him. And they can bleed and die. That is all I care to know about them. The fact that the Silent Ones had been corrupted through the power of the Emperor was not widely known, which was just as well. Were it to be common knowledge, that could weaken their fighters' resolve even more than it had been already.
Your fighting is done for today, the human said. We need to get you over to the wagons, where I can treat you properly.
The tall elf nearby gave a thin smile. If you can get her to stop fighting, then you must truly possess powers beyond that of any mage. Kira placed a hand on the human's shoulder.
Thank you for your help, but I cannot leave. All the same, I think you are right. My fighting is done for now.
If only the mages were here, remarked the human. The battle would be over by now.
Kira had also been hoping for Lailanora's return. So far there was no sign of her, or of Kat and Ethan.
They cannot fight the war for us, she said. This victory must be ours.
I suppose, he agreed. But I wish they were here anyway.
So do I,
she admitted silently. The loud clashing of swords and strident battle cries, for a brief spell almost unnoticed by Kira, now crept back to the fore. Only 100 feet or so ahead, she could see the vanguard of the two armies surging back and forth as they fought for supremacy. She waited until her wounds were fully bandaged before donning her armor once again and struggling to her feet. Thanks to the salve, the pain had already been reduced to a dull, thudding pulse. After ordering all but the human medic and 2 elves to return to their company, she made her way toward where she knew King Halvar still fought. Reports of the center's collapse had reached her, and she was fearful as to what she might find. As they neared the center, they could see the full extent of the chaos. Dozens of small skirmishes stretched out for at least 100 yards beyond the rear echelon. Her escort immediately placed themselves in front of her, forcing her back. Kira's eyes searched for any sign of King Halvar, but to no avail.
Send word that they need help, she commanded. We cannot leave you here, said the elf directly in front of her.
She tried to force her way through, but all 3 turned to hold her fast.
Please don't make us carry you, the elf said, nodding in the opposite direction.
Kira glared, but very quickly could see there would be no weakening of their resolve. Even the human looked back at her defiantly, his eyes telling her that she was going nowhere her escort did not wish her to. After letting out an infuriated yell, she spun on her heels and resumed walking in the direction required. They had covered only a few yards when a deep, echoing roar easily overcame the relentless clatter of the battle. It was a sound wonderfully familiar to Kira. She halted, a hopeful expression rapidly forming. Her eyes shifted skyward, searching eagerly for the source. A second roar, this one far louder, descended like a thunderclap upon the field. Even the Silent Ones paused fighting briefly. For an eerie moment, the battlefield became almost totally quiet. From the north, Kira then spotted a plume of vivid red flames heralding the majestic arrival of a dragon. Maitre had come, and riding upon her back was Kat.
Praise the spirits, Kira whispered.
Tears sprang involuntarily to her eyes, and she very nearly lost her balance. Cheers spontaneously erupted from their ranks, though this did nothing to halt the Imperial soldiers resuming their attack. Within seconds, the battles along the lines, as well as numerous skirmishes at the flanks, were all in full flow again. Her escort ushered her along, and this time she did not resist. The efforts to force her way past them a few seconds earlier had caused renewed bleeding from her wound, prompting the human healer to now insist that she be removed to the wagons. Kira closed her eyes and listened as another trumpeting call came down from Maitre. A weak smile formed.
I am at your mercy. I will comply, human.
She stopped herself just before completing the final word.
No, tell me, she said. What is your name?
Vernard, he replied.
She bowed her head. I will comply, Vernard.
Though still deeply concerned about the fate of King Halvar, she allowed herself to feel at least a small portion of satisfaction. Even a single mage would be of tremendous help, enough to possibly snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. But together with an enraged dragon, only Shinzan himself could stand against them both.
King Halvar's axe took the head of his first foe before the man even knew there was someone upon him. With his rage continuing to drive him forward, he cleaved his way through two more before a large section of the enemy finally turned and forced him to slow his charge. He and his guard had thrown themselves directly into the center of the ever-widening breach. Though well aware that a force as small as theirs was unlikely to be able to close it on their own, he nevertheless hoped their unexpected assault would at least give the others from the shattered line sufficient time to recover and form an organized counterattack. He could see the members of his guard slashing and hacking with furious abandon, every bit equal to his own. Had they been fighting normal humans, Halvar had no doubt that their foe would have already fled in the face of such wrath. But as their skill and lack of any fear was displaying, these enemy soldiers were far from being normal humans. Much to Halvar's dismay, in the course of just a few minutes, he and his men found themselves switching from all-out attack to desperately defending. Calls of "The King fights with us" and "Hail, King Halvar!" began springing up from all around. For a dark moment, he regretted throwing himself into the fray so thoughtlessly. Many of his subjects would surely ignore their own safety in order to protect him. For a short time, this dire thought persisted, but something else also quickly became evident. His presence in the thick of things was inspiring every dwarf on the field to fight with renewed vigor and heart. Before he knew it, the hoped-for counterattack was actually happening. The breach was beginning to close. A dwarf to his right grunted with pain and dropped his weapon as the tip of a sword pierced deeply into his leg. Stepping around the wounded man, Halvar swung his axe hard down onto the flat of the offending imperial steel, shattering it instantly. Barely had he finished off the disarmed soldier when another imperial to his left rushed forward, thrusting his blade low. Halvar twisted sharply away, in doing so narrowly avoiding being skewered, but at the same time leaving himself temporarily off balance and wide open. Seizing this opportunity, the hollow-eyed, silent one smashed his gauntleted fist into the king's brow, sending him staggering back and down onto his knees. With cold deliberation, the imperial closed in to finish things. Seeing his king in peril, the injured and temporarily weaponless dwarf quickly dove forward to wrap restraining arms around the soldier's waist. It was brave, but provided only the briefest of respites for Halvar. A short but vicious pommel strike to the back of the dwarf's head soon loosened his hold. This was very rapidly followed up by a sharp boot to the chest that sent him reeling. Halvar was trying hard to focus, though the punch had severely blurred his vision. He backed away, swinging his axe frantically in wide sweeps in an attempt to stave off death long enough to regain his sight. All he could make out at present was the foggy silhouette of his would-be killer moving steadily closer. Too close now, in fact. He couldn't risk waiting any longer. In a desperate gamble, he heaved his heavy axe at the advancing shadow. The deep thump that followed told him that his gamble had paid off. A huge gasp of relief fell from his mouth. Without his axe, he reached into his belt for a dwarf rod. Using such a weapon in close quarters was dangerous, but for the moment he had no choice. He had to have something with which to protect himself until he could see well enough again to move about freely. Turning continuously in tight little circles, with the rod held ready for action, he strained to detect any approaching threat. After what felt like an eternity of being at his most vulnerable, the images around him began to sharpen. He could see that the breach had now been closed. Even so, there were still dozens of small skirmishes raging between dwarves and those imperials who had already forced their way through.
He spotted his axe still protruding from the breastplate of his fallen enemy. It had been a perfect throw, striking dead center. He couldn't help but smile. Pulling the weapon free, he surveyed the battle again. The front line, though holding at present, was still under intense pressure. Shifting his gaze, he saw the dwarf who had tried to save him from the Imperial soldier, staggering in his direction. Blood from a gash on the man's scalp now soaked his shoulders. His injured leg was also heavily streaked with red. Halvar hurried to aid him.
"Thank the ancestors, our dwarf heads are thick, lad," Halvar said, pulling the dwarf's arm over his shoulder.
"I'm fine, your highness,"
he responded unconvincingly, stepping away and using his recovered axe as a crutch instead.
"We need to get you away from here."
Halvar was just about to protest when the sound of a mighty roar carried across the battlefield. He could feel his legs wobble. A second, even louder call then followed. For a brief span, all fighting ceased as everyone on the battlefield turned their attention skyward to search for the source. Tears of joy sprang from Halvar's eyes.
"Thank you," he murmured.
The injured dwarf had dropped to his knees and was clinging to the handle of his weapon for support.
"Is it?"
he asked, his awed words fading to nothing. Halvar could make out a small white dot in the vividly blue sky. Such power to be heard so clearly from so far away was incredible. The third call that sounded a few seconds later was accompanied by a stream of fire as the dragon went into a steep dive. Though the fighting around him continued, he could not tear his eyes away from the mighty beast. It was as if hope itself had taken on a living, breathing form. He wished his sight were as keen as an elf's. Someone was riding atop the dragon's back, but he was unable to make out who it was. Not that it really mattered. They had a mage with them now. That was the most important thing. A mage and a dragon together would surely be unbeatable.
"And to think I once despised human magic," he mused. "It still frightens me, your highness,"
the injured dwarf responded. He smiled at his king.
"But right now, the Empire frightens me more."
"Indeed," agreed Halvar.
Three of his guards approached from the lines. He thought to ask about the rest of them, but already knew the answer and didn't care to hear the depressing words just yet. He would discover the number of brave dwarves who had died on this day soon enough.
"Are you injured, your highness?"
asked an older dwarf with a thick red beard. Halvar touched the lump on his forehead.
"No, not seriously."
One of the other guards helped his injured companion to his feet.
"We must get you to the wagons,"
the dwarf told Halvar.
"There is nothing more you can do."
Yet another mighty roar came from the dragon, this one so close and loud that Halvar could feel it resounding inside his chest. He dearly wanted to stay and witness what was about to happen, but the skirmishes were closing in around them, and he realized that his people were sacrificing themselves in order to keep the enemy away from their king's location.
"Take me away, but to a place where I can still see the field," he commanded. "I want to watch the enemy burn."
The red-bearded dwarf cast a hate-filled glance over his shoulder at the Imperial ranks.
"As do I, your highness. As do I."